Blog Talk Radio.
Oprah for president? Another win for constitutional rights. FEMA, Puerto Rico, NFL player protests, the flag, patriotism, and much more on this edition of the Truth Hurts Podcast. Check your political partisanship and rhetoric at the door. This is the Truth Hurts Podcast with your host, The Inconvenient Truther. Hey, that's me, The Inconvenient Truther. Welcome into the Truth Hurts Podcast. It is October the 1st, 2017. Boy, the summer sure did fly by for me. I don't know about you, but it's already October. Hey, welcome into the show. I got a lot I'd like to get into. But before I even get into any of that, I just want to remind you folks, if you're listening on a podcast, on a download, which most of you do, that's why it's called a podcast, but you can participate live Sunday evenings, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Call in 646-787-8017. You can call me. You can talk to me. You can get on the air. You can be immortalized forever. Or for as long as the archive is kept on this website. You can have your say. Today I got a lot I want to get into, but I've got some great news for constitutional rights once again, and to clarify something that I brought up on last week's show. I talked about the appeals court in either Jersey or New York or Philadelphia finding it illegal to use the Stingray devices, which basically mocked cell phone towers, looked like cell phone towers, but were a gateway for police officers to geolocate you and pick up all kinds of other information as your cell phone or mobile device pings off of that tower. I erroneously stated it was somewhere in that area, but it was actually in D.C. It was actually in the District of Criminals. I couldn't believe it. When I fact-checked it myself, I was a bit confused on air last week. But it happens when you fly by the seat of your pants doing a live show. But I wouldn't have it any other way. Boy, I do reserve the right. I do reserve the right to pre-record a show from time to time. But that's why the number is out there. Hey, I mean, honestly, 646-787-8017, call Sunday evenings between 6 and 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and you'll get live on the air. You can download it later and check for yourself. This is a live show. You're actually sitting in on my live podcast recording of this show, and I'm giving you the opportunity to take advantage of that, to be a part of it. If you want to have your voice said, call that number that I already said. But back to this top story. Great news for the Constitution and constitutional rights. D.C. Appeals Court doing its job. Now, this applies for the District of Columbia only, but considering that they've only allowed concealed carry permits for a short time in the district, this is a great victory. They struck down the strict requirements for receiving such a gun permit in the District of Columbia. Now, that really doesn't have any effect on us outside of the district, except that it's already set in precedent in law. It's already the precedent rather has been set through court of law, which is great news. Same as the law about the use of the stingray devices. And the reason why I bring this up and the reason why I bring up these cases is because you can mention these to your attorney as precedent-setting cases or as judgments, because most of the time a judge will go along with the precedent that has been set. So when you hear something that's so precedent-setting, you know, that's what that means. Bring that up, and don't just assume that your attorney, regardless of how much you pay him or how highly touted or highly regarded they are in their field, don't just assume that they know this stuff. They get briefs. There's a lot of work to be an attorney. Trust me, I know. So when I say precedent setting, and if you're up on charges of any kind, look for court cases, rulings by local and state and federal judges that rule in your favor. Because the only thing that matters in a court of law are the facts that are presented. If you can present facts in your favor that are precedent setting from other cases or other cases have used something that applies to your case, the chances of being ruled in your favor greatly increase. I don't want to get too much into the law because I'm not a lawyer and I don't want to get accused of practicing the law. Just practice common sense. Simple as that. And research. Boy, oh boy, boy, that's a word to use in this day and age. But a great win for constitutional rights. See, D.C. had such stringent rules on gun ownership that even after it was passed that you can own a weapon in Washington, D.C., you had to jump through so many hoops and there was so much bureaucracy and so much red tape to getting a gun permit and such costs involved that it really dissuaded honest, legitimate gun owners who want to exercise their rights under the Constitution. It dissuaded them from getting the permits there in D.C. because it was so tough. So another win for good common sense, constitutional values. And I'm going to bring you at least once a week or every show, because there might be more than one show a week in the future here. Depends on how everything goes. But I'm going to bring you some good constitutional news every week because I think it's important to talk about the Constitution, to get into the Constitution. Because it's not even talked about anymore. It's talked about as like a get out of jail free card by whoever wields it. It's simply that's how it is. That's kind of the way it looks to me. But moving along, I don't want to spend too much time on it because I've only got a half hour. And you've heard me say that a few times if you've listened to my previous shows. Here on the Truth Hurts podcast, this being number 4 officially, I believe. Number 5 if you count the preview show. But if you've listened, you've heard me say that a number of times. I've only got 30 minutes. That's kind of a reminder to myself as well. Because I used to do live shows for 4-hour blocks, 3-hour blocks. 8 hours in out of 14-hour blocks. I did a lot of live radio. So when I say I've only got 30 minutes, I'm kind of reminding myself as well as saying, hey, you know, I've only got 30 minutes. I got to get into this. Finally, though, moving right along, something that I've suspected and talked about for years, radioactive water has been leaking from Fukushima, now admitted through TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company. Boy, what a mess. And it takes 40 to 50 to 60 plus years to decommission a nuclear site such as that. I mean, look at Chernobyl. They're still having issues with that. What a disaster that is. But there has been speculation and rumors and conspiracy theories about the radioactive waste and the radioactive water leaking into the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima. It's something that we definitely need to keep our eye on. You know, the waste from Fukushima, from the earthquake and the impending, the ensuing tsunami for that region of Japan, there has already been debris that have floated up ashore in the western part of this continent. So if the debris is popping up, there's a pretty good chance, in my opinion, because I'm not a oceanographer or anything, a scientist or anything like that. I almost said Scientologist. Oh, what a faux pas that would have been. But that's not for me to say. It's just for me to suspect and to give you my opinion, to give you my thoughts, to speak freely. That's what liberty is about. I have the right to give you my opinion, and you have the right to listen or not. It's up to you. Personally, I'm thankful and I'm glad that you do listen. There's a lot of folks that just don't take the time to think the issues through and rather rely on talking points and bullet points and political rhetoric or rhetoric of right versus left or this color versus that color. But if you really sat down and got to know people and really talked to people outside of your comfort zone, i.e., your race, your color, and I've said it before, I really hate that phrase race, because I look at us as human, being a simplistic way to look at it, but I look at it as us as being the human race, and that's the only race to me that matters. If we're talking about color of skin and languages, then we're talking about ethnicity, in my opinion. But a lot of folks won't agree with me on that. They just won't. All right. Anyway, I've got to move along, boy. I'm already halfway through the show this week, and I haven't even gotten a third of what I wanted to talk about into the conversation. But getting back to what I was saying really quick, if you talk to people outside of your own ethnicity or color and really talk to them as a person, as a human, and just put everything aside, all these preconceived notions that you have, I'm talking to all sides here, you'll see that they're a lot like you. And they don't want a race war or violence between cultures and ethnicities or races any more than you do. But they're being fed a line of BS by the mainstream media and by those folks who would profit off the race war. Follow the money. Follow the money, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. Who's going to profit off of this? All right, let's move along here. As I spoke last week a little bit about these NFL protests, I gave you my opinion on those, and I'm not going to rehash my opinion. You go back and download the show and listen to it. But as I stated, if fans would vote with their wallets, because we do, after all, live in a consumerist society, then the NFL would see the light. The sponsors would see the light. While ratings were down 11% last week over the protests, but we got to look at this with fresh eyes, not with eyes that look at only one side of the story. How long have we heard as sports fans that ratings for the NFL have been on a downward slope? But an 11% drop week over week is a pretty big drop. Nonetheless. Now, for the network's part, at least for Fox, I got to say they did a really good job of not showing the national anthem live as they did last week when it was such a big issue. And it come an anti-Trump action. It's morphed into that. I mean, sure, there are some folks who are still kneeling or wanting to kneel with the original message in mind. But ever since the president spoke out on it, and a lot of people see it as an issue of white elite Republican versus poor black Democrat, it's become an anti-Trump issue. And that's a shame that everything has to be so politicized in our country. It really is. And you can't tell me that we're not that politicized. We are so politicized in this country. It's tough for a person like myself, who is a libertarian with conservative leanings, because anytime I bring up anything conservative, oh, you're a Republican. But anytime I bring up anything libertarian, oh, you're a Democrat, you're a liberal, you're a crazy loon. So it's a little tough walking the tightrope between the two-party system. And that's why there was never meant to be a two-party system in this country. And that's why the Republicans and the Democrats both love the two-party system, because it maintains the status quo. And it has, for over 100 years in this country, maintained the status quo, the power concentrated in between the right and the left. And they've become indistinguishable over the last 100 years. There really is no difference between the Republicans or the Democrats, in my opinion, other than a few ideological issues. There really isn't much. Every time the Democrats have control of the White House and at least a branch, another branch of the government, then policies shift more to the left. And when Republicans gain control through the presidency and at least one other branch of the government, then the status quo is kept. See, there's really never, as long as I've been alive, and I've been alive for 4 decades plus, so it gives you an idea of how old this old fart is. But in my lifetime, government hasn't moved back towards the right much. Not at all. It's been Democrats in power, we move to the left. Republicans in power, we maintain the status quo. Democrats in power, we move more to the left. Republicans regain power again. Okay, well, we're not going to go back to where we were. We'll just make sure we don't move any further left. And before you know it, we're far, 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 far left. And I don't want to get this into a Republican versus Democrat argument, because it's much deeper than that. You know, there's not just a left and a right. There's a left, a right, a wrong, a right. You know, we just shouldn't have a two-party system. And it's amazing to me, in the land of the free, think about this, folks, in the land of the free, we're one of the few nations that have only a two-party system. There are some people that have, some nations rather, that have a coalition of government, 7, 8, 9 different political parties ruling, you know, for on the right or on the left or whatever the case may be. But you're going to hear, especially through the mainstream media and especially through the Republicans and the Democrats, the hardcore, embedded, dyed-in-the-wool political partisans, that the two-party system is the best. It's the two-party system. Represents everyone, right? Me neither. It doesn't represent me, and I don't think it represents you. There are some things on the right that I agree with, and some things on the left, the Democrats, Republicans, rather. There are some things in the Republican Party that I agree with, and some of the Democrat Party, I believe, it's more so the Republicans. But it's kind of hard, because when you get into, you know, war spending and the like, and don't take that as me being unpatriotic, please. One of these days, I'm going to do a show, and we're going to talk about how the Department of Defense got its name and what it used to be named, and how its budget has increased, and how the benefits for SNAP and food stamp cards are minuscule and a speck of dust compared to defense. So don't get me started on that, because there are some more things I want to talk about, believe it or not. The disaster in Puerto Rico is still going on. That island, those poor people have just been devastated, decimated. Logistically, it's becoming a real pain in the arse to get supplies and food and aid to the people unless they're on the coast. The infrastructure has totally been destroyed. It's going to take a long time for that country, for that property, I guess, possession, United States possession, to get back anywhere to normal. So if you're praying kind of person, pray for those folks. And if you're the giving kind of person, whether you're a praying person or not, if you're charitable, look into helping out the Salvation Army, my personal favorite charity. They do a lot of good with minimal donations. And the most, I believe, over 90% of every dollar that comes into the Salvation Army goes right back out to helping folks. Can't be said for any other charity. Look into it. There are stats and websites and publications that document that stuff. But by all means, if you can help, help in any way you possibly can. Those folks in Puerto Rico and in the U.S. Virgin Islands and in the Dominican Republic and in Cuba, they really need it. So help out these large organizations that have done this before. But there's been a real problem with bureaucracy and red tape and the government tripping over itself in the disaster relief business. We saw it during Hurricane Katrina, unfortunately. And, you know, and since then, as far as disaster management goes, things have run pretty smoothly until now, until we've come to Puerto Rico, where logistically, because Puerto Rico is one of our possessions, as a U.S. possession, we're entitled and obligated to come to its aid. We're their protectorate. And it's become a logistical nightmare getting aid to these folks. And a lot of that is going to be blamed on the current administration. And it's hard to say whether or not that's valid criticism, because no other president has had to face this type of situation before. As far as the logistics go, now you can say Bush with Katrina, he mailed miserably on that. He failed miserably, folks. He failed miserably. As my tongue gets twisted, that was a miserable failure. But I don't believe Bush was to blame. And, you know, everybody can remember Kanye West saying, oh, George Bush hates black folks. No. But that's a rallying cry. It's an emotional cry to get folks involved. And it works. It's an ingenious ploy. I can't hate the player, but I can hate the game. But there are a lot of folks who know how to play the game. They really do. Politicians really know how to play the game. Speaking of politicians, I teased at it a little bit at the opening of the show. Oprah Winfrey for president? Are you serious? There's been some talk, some murmuring, some rumors, and some whispers that Oprah might be a presidential candidate for 2020. So far, Ms. Winfrey has declined, saying no. But as you and I know, never say never. You never say never, especially in the world of politics. who would have thunked that Kid Rock would be contemplating a run for Senate, for the Senate? Oh, yeah, politics have become the American Idol. The real life American Idol. I mean, it's pretty much, to me, especially the presidency, has become nothing more than a popularity contest. It began, in my opinion, with Barack Obama's second term, and has continued to Trump now, and Oprah in 2020 if she runs, or Rosie O'Donnell, or whoever, whomever decides that they want to throw their hat in the ring, and they've got a big enough name, then the name sells and popularity rules the day. I mean, you can see it in your local political scene, most likely. I mean, I see it here, where the name and the popularity is what gets you elected. There's a couple of instances in my area where the son of a sheriff who held office, who died while in office, who had no political experience whatsoever, ran on the ballot to take over his dad's name and got the job. That's one instance. Another instance is a former mayor whose grandson has the same name as him, has won a seat on the city council in one of the local cities here. So nepotism, or name recognition rather, which is a better term, I guess. Nepotism is when you hire and promote from within due to familiar ties and whatnot. But name recognition and popularity play a part in politics today. So it wouldn't surprise me if we not only saw Oprah Winfrey run for the president, have a serious shot at it, but become elected as well. And I say that because I never, ever, 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 ever would have thought Donald Trump would be elected president. And that's not saying anything bad against Donald Trump. As a businessman and as a WWF/WWE personality, as a reality TV star, as a Twitter personality, it was entertaining. The guy was great. I just never thought of him as being a president or being having presidential material, being presidential material and whatnot. So it wouldn't surprise me if Oprah were to become the president for the same exact reasons of what I just mentioned. Hey, I'm quickly running out of time here. I've got about a minute to go. There's a vote for independence in the Catalonian region of Spain taking place. A lot of blowback from Madrid, the central government there. The folks in Catalonia, the wealthiest part of Spain, by the way, are trying to break free. They have their own language, their own culture, and they just want to become an – they're partially semi-autonomous. They're semi-autonomous already. They enjoy a great degree of autonomy. They're just not their own self-determining country. And there's a vote, and there's been a lot of violence. So don't take the right to vote and your ability to go out and vote for granted, because there are folks who would love to have the opportunity to go out and vote. And you can see it today in this Catalonian vote. I wanted to get into inflation and how it ties into the Fed and how it ties into banking. That's going to be a topic for another show. Great to have you with me. If you missed it, next week, 6 p.m. Eastern time to 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, call in, get your voice heard, have your say. 646-787-8017. This has been the Truth Hurts podcast for the 1st of October 2017. I'm out of here, and so are you.